Have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We are continuing in our series of messages today entitled Devoted. Just one word, and that's the title of the whole series, Devoted. And last time when we began the series a few weeks ago, we looked at what it means to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the Word of God. And today we move a little farther into that verse and are looking at the idea of what it means to be devoted to fellowship. Devoted to fellowship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, here's what the Bible says. And they continued steadfastly. Some translations use the word devoted. They mean the same thing. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We ask now that you would speak to our hearts and that we would hear you clearly and we would understand, Lord, what it is you are saying to us today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this series of messages, we are looking at the spiritual practices of the first followers of Jesus Christ. And in particular, the spiritual practices of the first followers of Jesus Christ in reference to, or in regard to, the church. How did those people that God saved on the day of Pentecost practice their newfound faith? What spiritual activities did they organize around? What defining characteristics set them apart? How did they demonstrate their love for Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us that they were devoted. That they were devoted. And we looked in our first part of the series about at what that word means, several different ways to kind of describe the meaning of that word. To persist obstinately or in stubbornness, to continue on, to adhere to firmly or to be determined, a steady persistence, faithfulness and consistency. This word devoted is the primary character trait that is identified first and foremost in the lives of believers on the day of Pentecost. So it is a character trait that if people were looking at those people that had been saved and watching what they were starting to do, it would have been that they would have characterized them as devoted. Devoted to what? Well, the Scripture tells us four spiritual activities that we mentioned last time we started this series. The apostles' doctrine, the Word of God. They were devoted to the Word of God. There's a reason why this is first on the list. Everything else emanates. We learn everything that we know about God and about Jesus and about the church from His Word. It's first on the list. And then secondly, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It is no understatement for us to say that these four spiritual activities are God's top priorities for His people. We could easily categorize these as God's top priorities for His church. They are foundational, and they were established as a basis in the early days there in Jerusalem to continue future ministry throughout Jerusalem and the rest of the world. If you want to know what a church is, and you want to know what a church does, then Acts chapter 2 is a good place to start. It is where we would go to find out that type of concrete information. And I want to just tell you this morning, I'm very grateful that we have an instruction manual. We don't have to make this up as we go along. Now, the Bible is more than an instruction manual. But when it comes to believers, when it comes to the family of God, when it comes to the church, we have the Bible for instruction. And it takes the guesswork out of what we're doing here. There's no guessing at what God wants from His people. There's no guessing at what God expects of the church. So in this series, we are taking a closer look at the first followers of Jesus and the spiritual practices, listen carefully, that came to define the New Testament church. Now, this week's spiritual practice is fellowship. I'm going to have to pick this up. It's kind of catching my eye every time I look around. So this week's spiritual practice is fellowship. Let me ask you this morning, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of fellowship? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of fellowship? It could be a number of things because we've used it in a number of different contexts in church life, right? Some of you may be familiar with this term, some of you may not. It may be more of a southern term, I don't know, but down south we have what's called a fellowship hall, right? Anybody heard of a fellowship hall? Well, that would be our outbuilding here, the building that we gather in and eat in. And so in church life, we've designated a part of our building as a fellowship hall. We schedule time for churches to have a fellowship. Some churches have a fellowship time in the worship service where they shake hands with one another and greet one another. As a child growing up in a Southern Baptist church, I understood that fellowship involved red Kool-Aid and cookies and friends. The word fellowship is often used in conjunction with what we might call eating meetings, dinner on the ground, potluck. So when you hear the word fellowship, you all kinds of things might come to your mind. However, a closer look at the Scriptures will reveal a much deeper and much richer meaning. Think about it from a practical standpoint, quickly with me. If fellowship is a top priority for God's church, if it is one of the spiritual activities that define the New Testament church, it has to be more than just a warm smile and a friendly handshake. You can get that at Walmart, and we're in a different business than that. So what does the Bible teach us about fellowship then? If that's not what it is, and it's deeper and it's richer, it's one of God's top priorities for the church, it's a defining character trait of the New Testament church. Well, to arrive at a better understanding of this spiritual activity, we've got to do two things. We've got to examine the word fellowship in context, and then we've got to look to some other passages that speak to us about the idea of fellowship. Those are two, by the way, trustworthy methods of biblical interpretation. When you're trying to understand what your Bible is teaching you, you need to look at what it's saying in context, number one. Number two, let other Scripture interpret. Let other Scripture speak to what that Scripture is saying. Now, the word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. It comes from the word koinos, and it literally means common. It literally means common. Now, in this context here in the book of Acts, where we read about them being devoted to the fellowship, it is referring to something special, something unique that a person has in common with others who are in the faith. It's not something that you have with people who are outside of the faith. So the Bible seems to be indicating that koinonia, this fellowship, only occurs within the body of Christ, within the family of God. Now, since that is the case, we have to back up and identify fellowship as a work of God, not something that we stir up ourselves, but fellowship is a work of God among His people, something that He creates within the body, something that He creates within us, that He does in us, that He does with us, and that He does through us. You know what that means? That fellowship, true biblical fellowship, is gospel-centered, and it doesn't occur without having a spiritual salvation experience with Jesus. And so the basis of true biblical fellowship is salvation. It comes out of a relationship with the Lord. Now, with that in mind, I want us to look at a few other passages that are going to help us understand what fellowship is really all about. We're going to look at three different passages, and we're going to use some words that help us describe or define fellowship. So the first one comes to us from the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, you need to know that in the biblical sense, fellowship is relationship. Fellowship is relationship. Now watch this. Beginning in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is John talking about Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And so Jesus was present before the beginning of time on the earth. He manifested Himself to the disciples. They saw Him, they heard Him, they handled Him, they believed in Him. Now listen, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now when we read this and we begin to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle John in these words, we begin to understand that fellowship is relationship. In a spiritual sense, we are related to one another. John is indicating that we have this relationship with one another because we have a relationship with the same Father. So, let me pick on somebody for a moment. Let me pick on JR. He's a good one to pick on. JR, who is your Heavenly Father? That's right. Are you talking about the same one that's in the Bible? Holy cow. He's my Father too. That means we're brothers. You get it? We've got the same Heavenly Father, and because we have the same Heavenly Father, there is a spiritual kinship that He has given us, and it's a relationship, and it is fellowship. That is the essence of what God has given us that is different than any other idea you might have in regards to fellowship. What do we have in common? Remember the word common? Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. We have been born again into His spiritual family. One person said it like this: fellowship means that we belong to each other in a relationship because we share together the common life and the enabling of the grace of Jesus Christ. Paul, when writing to the church in Ephesus, said it this way: there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Now this means that fellowship cannot happen in isolation. If fellowship is relationship, it's not something we do by ourselves. It's only happening when we are together in what the Bible teaches is the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. It's not an individual activity. In fact, listen carefully, relationship is not an activity. Are there things we do together? Yes, but relationship is not technically an activity. Church is more than a casual association with one another. Church is more than just gathering a bunch of people in a building and rubbing shoulders with each other, shaking one another's hand, and smiling at one another. It's more than that casual association. It's a fellowship. And so when we read that they were devoted to fellowship, it was not just an activity. They were devoted to relationship, which is deep and rich and meaningful. Something that God has created us all to need and experience. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, "We are to be in fellowship because we share the same life." What is that? Eternal life. We're to be in fellowship because we show the same love. What love is that? The love that the Holy Spirit has poured out into our hearts. We're to be in fellowship because we serve the same Lord. Now, you may have something in common with other people who are not saved, who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who are not in the faith. I would say you probably do. But I would say the meaning of those things that you have in common with them pale in comparison to the meaning of those things that you have in common with other believers. What do I mean by that? Well, while you may have something in common with others, nothing compares to having in common with others eternal life. The love of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Nothing greater can a bond be formed around in the universe than the sweet salvation that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, it's an interesting thing that happens when God begins to bring His people together to form a New Testament church. There's no accidents there. This is intentional. They are a fellowship of believers. Intimate, personal relationships with one another where we can do life together. My journey has been a little different than maybe some of yours. Some of you will be able to relate to this, I think. But when God called me into the ministry at the age of 20, I began to pray and seek the Lord about where He would use me in churches. The only church that I had known was the one I grew up in. And I was there until I was basically 19 years old. But surrendering to the ministry meant a couple of things. Now you may not have ever thought about this. But surrendering to the ministry meant I would no longer get to go to the church of my choice. I don't know if you've ever thought about that for preachers. It becomes our choice after God leads us there, but we don't get to choose. So we don't get to look at all the church has going on and say, yeah, that's the one I want. That's the kind of church I want to go to. Doesn't work that way. We go where God's called us. But here's the interesting thing. Out of all the churches God called us to over the last 20-something years, there was something very special that occurred. Fellowship. We walked in to places. In fact, we have never pastored. We've never been called to a church that we knew anything about before we went. So we didn't know anybody there. There was no relationship to begin with. But that thing that God does in your heart and in my heart to bring us together in fellowship is the sweetest thing on God's earth. Fellowship is more than saying, "How you doing this morning?" That's a result, right? That's kind of a result of the fellowship that we have. And so we've been able to, and you have too. How many of you knew everybody that's here that you knew? How many of you know everybody right now? Right? You don't. Why are you here? Because you have a relationship with who? Jesus, which makes you have a relationship with who? Each other. Fellowship is relationship. Secondly, fellowship is partnership. Fellowship is partnership. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship..." For your what? "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." How many of you have a translation that says "for your partnership in the gospel"? Okay. Well, you know why? Because the words are used interchangeably. Fellowship is partnership. We have already discussed that we have the same Lord, which means we have the same, we serve the same master. And serving means that there is work to do. But there's not just work to do, there's work to do together. You see, the great Apostle Paul was intimately acquainted with the work of the gospel. He knew what that was all about. He had met Jesus on the Damascus Road and was saved by the grace of God, and he was zealous for sharing his faith, sharing the gospel so that others would be saved. But as talented as the Apostle Paul was, and as passionate as the Apostle Paul was, he knew full well that he had not been called to this task alone. He knew full well that he was limited in what he could do for the kingdom, and he needed others to participate, to partner in God's work together. He was only one of millions of people to be saved down through the ages that Jesus took and put into fellowship and used for service. Now, in these verses, Paul recognizes the value of partnership. Do you hear what it says? In verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And what part of that remembrance was the fellowship in the gospel, the partnership in the gospel. So in these verses, Paul recognizes the value of partnership, of laboring together, here's the word again, for a common cause. Not just any cause. Not just any goal. We can't just set any goal that we want as a church. We can't just work for any cause, not just any mission. It's the mission of God. It's not, now, and when we look in the Scripture to find out what the mission of God is, it's not convoluted. It's not complicated, and it's not confusing. So, can you see how a clear vision of the mission of God could polarize His people and bring them together in what? Fellowship. And here's what the Bible says in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God brings people together, not just so that we can feel good about being together. God brings people together to accomplish His task. The reason that so many people can come together from so many different backgrounds, The reason that we can be so different from one another and come together in what we call the New Testament church is fellowship. Think with me a moment. It's fellowship. It's those things which we have in common, a relationship, a partnership in the gospel. No matter how different we are, we have Jesus as our Lord. No matter how different we are, we have His work as our task. We have these things in common. Thus, we should always be reminded that we are His children. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have been called together, not just for any reason, but for the purpose of the gospel ministry. Fellowship is partnership in what God says is priority in our lives. And there is nothing else that solidifies a relationship in this world like Jesus. And there is nothing that accomplishes His task any greater than the motivation of serving Him. He created us for relationship. He created us for partnership. And you could say He recreated us, right? We became new creatures. And He put us into His service. So the partnership that we have in Jesus is observed in, this is just an example for you, our organization. What do you mean by that, preacher? So the fellowship that's being described here, that's based on the work, the finished work of Christ on the cross, is evident in the way we organize. If you look at the church budget, you will see that it is focused on accomplishing the mission. It's not just arbitrary line items. There's a reason for the things that are there. Why? To help us accomplish the mission. We have a leadership structure in place. Why? To help us accomplish the mission. We have constitution and bylaws. We have membership. We have policies and procedures that the admin team is going to be working on soon. All of these come together and are able to be described as a partnership in the gospel. Fellowship is partnership. And then thirdly, I want you to see that fellowship is stewardship. Fellowship is stewardship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. There's a phrase used here by Paul as he's writing to the church in Corinth. He is describing the attitude and the activity of the churches in Macedonia towards his mission work. He is describing what we could call a sharing of responsibility. But it doesn't stop there. It's a sharing of responsibility for one another. A sharing of responsibility for one another. The churches in Macedonia, as you read that chapter, you can tell that they cared about other believers, cared about Paul. You can tell that they were concerned for other believers. In the Bible, when you read about God's people, the New Testament church, there's a real sense of responsibility when it comes to our faith family. In the Bible, there is a spirit of humility and generosity that permeates the New Testament church. It is the manifestation of fellowship. It's the manifestation of what Jesus has done in the hearts of His people to bring them to that point of loving each other so much that they recognize the importance of their spiritual relationship and they partner in the gospel ministry for the sake of Christ, and they are stewards of those relationships. They're responsible when it comes to one another. Here, it shows itself in the churches in Macedonia giving a physical gift so that the work of the gospel could continue. But this whole idea in this chapter is an idea of stewardship. Back in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 1, listen to these words. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Hey, that word's mentioned quite a bit in the New Testament. Any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So what does this fellowship of Spirit, what does this fellowship do? Listen to this last verse. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, one of the things that I do when I do premarital counseling, and I have never married anybody that I did not counsel with before they got married. And so we usually spend some time together, weeks leading up to the marriage. But one of the things that I almost always say, or I always ask, it's real simple. You're going to think, well, that's pretty lame, but that's okay. I still feel led to do it. So I look at them, and I ask them this question. If you live your life in such a way as to help her become all God wants her to be, and you do everything you can to meet her needs and make sure that she is taken care of. And then I look at her and say, if you do the same, if you work hard to meet his needs and be a blessing to him, and you're concerned about who he is in Christ and how he grows, whose needs are going unmet? Nobody's. Because they're looking out for not only their own interest in this marriage, but they're looking out for the interest of the other. See, I use that illustration because it's hard for us to be good stewards of relationships if we're selfish. It's hard for us to see this dynamic in fellowship, this dynamic of stewardship, if we are more concerned about ourselves than we are others. Now, the fact that fellowship is stewardship is demonstrated for us in the life of the New Testament church back in our primary text. If you go back to Acts chapter 2 and you read verses 44 and 45, here's what it says. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. How about that word? Had all things in common and sold their possession and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so you see fellowship as stewardship even within that chapter 2 of the book of Acts. We say, well, stewards of what? Stewards of our money? Well, yeah, the Bible teaches that we're to be good stewards of our money. Stewards of our material possessions? Yeah, the Bible teaches that we're to be good stewards of our material possessions. But we're not talking about those two things specifically when we say that fellowship is stewardship. We're talking about stewardship of the relationships. And we're talking about stewardship of the partnership. Something that God has done a miracle in us, right? Salvation is a miracle. It's a miracle that the God of the universe would send His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinful me. That's a miracle. It's a miracle that He would save me and bring me into His family, and then He'd give me a spiritual kinship with all of you who have believed. And then He'd give me a part to play in the partnership. So this is good stuff. Fellowship, I think, is probably much more than some of you thought when you first came in the door. The Bible teaches us great and wonderful truths, and that fellowship is stewardship of our relationships and of our partnerships. Taking care of one another and taking care of business, not just any business, the Father's business. And this business that we are about is otherworldly. It's not like any other business in the universe. In fact, this business that we are about is eternal. You see, the business that we are about is spiritual business. It has to do with matters of eternity. So let me take a minute and kind of wrap this up for us. Kind of summarize and bring us to our end today. The first followers of Jesus Christ were devoted. They were devoted to the Word of God. They read what they had in front of them, which wasn't much at the time. They heard it from the apostles, right? The apostles' teaching. They were devoted to God's Word, and they were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship is a top priority for the church. You say, well, what do we have in common? Remember, the root word for the word fellowship is common. What do we have in common? Well, we just talked about it. We're to be devoted to those things we have in common. What is that? A relationship. To a partnership. And to a stewardship. This is much greater than experiencing a warm, fuzzy feeling by attending church with people you like. You know, that's what church has become about for a lot of people. I just want to feel good. I want to feel good about myself. And I want to feel good about the church I'm in. I just want to feel good. Christianity is not a feel-good religion. Christianity is a get-right religion. Right? And it doesn't always feel good to get right. I mean, so we're not trying to create an atmosphere here of feel-good religion. We're trying to create an atmosphere here where the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and transform us into the people He wants us to be, and to build His fellowship and to build His kingdom. This devotion that we read about is not a devotion, in the New Testament, it is not a devotion to personal preference. It was a devotion to a powerful bond that unites God's church. It's much deeper and richer than casual relationships. It's more than a gathering in a church building for a meal. It is a commitment. And I just want to tell you, that is why, from time to time, you see people stand before our church publicly and sign a covenant. Because they're publicly declaring, I'm part of this fellowship. I'm devoted to this fellowship. I'm devoted to this relationship. I'm devoted to this partnership. I'm devoted to this stewardship. Fellowship in the body of Christ, the local church. Now, this is something I've preached on a little bit before, but fellowship in the body of Christ can be categorized by what is known as the one another passages in the Bible. You can find these lists in a lot of different places, but there are verses in the Bible that use the phrase one another. That speaks to relationship. That speaks to the fellowship and how that's supposed to go. I've got a list in front of me of 59. Some categorize them differently, so there's more. Some of them are repetitive. For instance, love one another, it shows up a lot. Love one another is over and over and over again. Which, by the way, if fellowship is relationship, that involves love, and that involves loving one another so deeply that we are willing and able to overcome differences and hardships. That's the love of God in us. The fellowship that is relationship works like this. You are more important to me than me getting my way. You are more important to me than me being right and you being wrong. You see, in fellowship, relationship is elevated to the top. God cares more about our love for Him and our love for one another than anything else. He certainly cares more about us loving one another than He does about us being right. He certainly cares more about us loving one another than He does about us getting our way. People are first in God's kingdom. That's why fellowship is relationship. Now, I'm not going to read the whole list, but I'm going to hit a couple of them. I'm not even going to tell you where they come from in the Bible, but just listen to what fellowship, how fellowship is described in some of these one another passages as we close. Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Wait a minute. Our equivalent is a handshake, and that'll do. In our culture. Have equal concern for one another. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. Let me tell you something. The power of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in the fellowship of believers is like nothing else that we experience anywhere else in the world. That's why they were devoted to it. And that's why we should be devoted to it. So let me close with this question. Are we devoted to the fellowship? To the relationships? Are they priority? Are we devoted to the partnership? Are we devoted to the stewardship of all these things God has given to us? Are we devoted? See, it's interesting to think about what others outside of the faith family might think about God's church today, how they might categorize the church. And I have to ask myself the question, people who are looking on, and they are observing our behavior. They're observing the things that we do as a church. What is the word that they would use to describe us? Is it devoted? Would they see our activity, not just in this building, right? This is more day to day. This is more out there living our lives. When people see us and they know that we're part of Church of the Rockies, do they say, you know, that group of people, they're devoted. They're devoted. Not do they sing about devotion. We've got a lot of songs about devotion. Singing about devotion and being devoted are two different things. Not do they talk about it and claim to be devoted, but does it show up in their relationships? Does it show up in their partnerships? Does it show up in their stewardship of what God has given us? May God find our faith family to be devoted. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just the wonderful opportunity that we have to read these few verses, these few words that describe for us the activity of the believers the moment they were saved at Pentecost and how they devoted themselves to the right things, the things that you had drawn them to the Word of God and to their relationships. And Father, I pray that you'll continue to do a work in our hearts, in our minds, and that we will each day pray, seek your face, continue to learn to be devoted, devoted to you, and to demonstrate that devotion with the spiritual practices that we are learning from the New Testament church. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that needs to make a decision this morning, that needs to have a time with you, a work in their heart, would you be faithful as you always are, and would you call them to yourself? Would you allow them to sense that right now? And God, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.